Well, there's a story about a young boy who wanted a bicycle for Christmas. And so he decided to write Jesus a letter. And he said, "Dear Jesus, I promise to be good all year if you give me a bike." And he looked at the letter and he looked at himself and he goes, I can't make that promise. So he tore it up. He got his pen out again and he started to write another letter to Jesus. And he said, "Dear Jesus, I want a bike for Christmas. And so if you give it to me, I promise to be nice to my sister all year." Well, he looked at that letter and he thought, "I can't keep that promise." So he ripped it up and threw it away. And he thought, "What do I do?" So he walked downstairs and he found the creche, you know, the scene of Joseph and Mary and Jesus and laying in the manger. And he took Mary and he went back upstairs to his room and he opened his sock drawer and got a sock out and he put Mary and wrapped her up in a sock and put her in the back of the drawer and closed the drawer. And he wrote Jesus a letter. He said, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, give me a bike." I love that story. He reveals a lot about us, doesn't he? I mean, there's something about that little boy that we can all relate to, because he knew that there was no way that he could meet the end of that bargain. He could never measure up to those promises. He knew he couldn't keep it. You know, it's a picture of all of us, isn't it? We make these promises. We think we can, but we can't. And you know why? Because the reality is there's a darkness in all of us. And because of that darkness, we can't keep those promises. We can't say, "I'm going to be good enough," or "I'm going to do this." And it reveals something deeper in every single one of us. But the reality is this: that's what the Christmas story is all about. It's about light entering into the darkness of this world. It's about light entering into the darkness of our own lives, our own brokenness, breaking into our pain, to our sorrow, to bring us life and hope, peace and freedom. But you see, sometimes we don't recognize just how deep that darkness really is. That's what we're going to look at this morning from the passage in Isaiah chapter 9. It's the scene that God uses this imagery of light and darkness. It was something that his people were well familiar with. He uses images that we can all relate to. And he uses these images of light and darkness to help his people see the desperate place that they were in. Because the Israelites, God's people, they didn't follow him very well. I mean, they were a stiff-necked people. They thumbed their nose at God. They turned away from him all the time. They wouldn't listen to him. And so what he did is he sent prophets to speak to them. Now, I don't know if you've been in these situations or not, but, you know, sometimes when you love someone and they don't seem to notice you, what do? Sometimes you have to get somebody else to speak. Well, in a sense, that's what God is doing with the prophets in the Old Testament. God's people wouldn't listen to him. And so he brings these men from of old, these prophets that he speaks through, to tell him he loves them. And that's what we find, that Isaiah was writing to these people, though, that they lived in a world shrouded in darkness. They lived in a world of desperation. They lived in the world of darkness because that's what life was ever since Adam and Eve came onto the scene. Ever since Adam and Eve took that fruit. You know the story? The very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, Adam and Eve take the fruit from the tree that God says not to. You know why? They wanted their own independence. They wanted their own autonomy. They wanted to run life the way they thought was best. And so they take of that, and what they found instead of life, they found darkness. They found darkness because God sent them out of the garden away from his presence. And friends, that's the world that you and I are born in. We are born into the darkness that Adam and Eve created. You know what darkness is all about? Darkness is when the delight of God has been turned away because of our own disobedience. Darkness is turning away from the one who created us and instead going through life to create our own reality, to create our own truth. Darkness is hiding because we fear being fully known. Darkness is being deaf to the voice of God. Darkness is being blind to his presence. You see, that's where God's people were. That's where we are. And so in this scene, the prophet Isaiah was called by God to speak a message of judgment because God's people continued to turn away. Let me paint the scene. I'm going to read a few verses that precede this in chapter 9 because it shows us just how deep the darkness really was. Listen to these words. He writes, "They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they're hungry, they'll be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and against their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish. And they will be thrust into thick darkness." Not what you expected to hear on Christmas Eve, is it? But friends, if the good news of the Savior coming among us is really going to be good news, if it really is going to make a difference in our lives, we have to understand the reality in which we live. We have to understand the deep darkness. And that's where the Israelites found themselves. The passage I just read speaks of this physical distress that they found themselves in. They were about to be defeated by the Assyrian army and then sent into exile. It doesn't get more gloomy than that. But you see, this passage also speaks of the spiritual condition of their own hearts. Their hearts were distant from God. They tried to fill the void. You know the void? We all have it. It's that hole in us that we try to run to, all kinds of other things. Gods we create, things that are here, money, success, approval of others. Anything to fill that void we run to. And what we find is we're trying to fill a spiritual hunger that those things never will. You see, we, like the Israelites, often try to create our own reality. But what we find over and over and over, and I'll tell you, if you do it long enough, you'll experience more and more of the darkness. I've been there. I didn't like it very much. But you see, that's the reality. That's the scene in which we find. Their story, that story of old from Isaiah, is the same story for you and me today. It's no different. You see, every one of us contributes to the darkness around us. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not, but in various ways, you and I have all contributed to the injustices that take place around us. We contribute to the greed, to racism, to suffering, to violence, to broken relationships. We've all been a part of that. But you see, not only is everyone contributing to the darkness, every one of us is impacted by the darkness. Now, you don't have to go very long on that to realize that your life has been impacted by the darkness. You sin, you've been sinned against, and it's painful and it hurts. We experience suffering. But the other reality is this: none of us can escape the darkness on our own. No matter how hard we try, we can't escape it on our own. But you see, it's under this reality, it's under this picture of gloom that this message of hope, this message of glorious, earth-shattering, life-changing hope comes to the scene. God and the fullness of his love for us brings the light into our darkness. He brings the Savior, he brings his Son to restore and to redeem us. Listen to how Isaiah put it in verse 2 of chapter 9. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Friends, do you know what happens when light comes into the darkness? Two things happen. The light comes as a ray of hope, but it also comes to expose. Now think about this. The light comes in the darkness as a ray of hope. I want you to picture yourself for a minute that you are in a cavern under the ground. And you're in this cavern and you're exploring it. You're exploring all the different rock formations, the stalactites and the stalagmites. And you're mesmerized by all of the beauty down there and how that could ever be created. And all of a sudden, the flashlight that you have goes out. Now you're in utter darkness because there's no sunlight shining in through that deep, dark cavern underground. There's no moon shining in. It is pitch black. You can't find your way out. You don't know how to even take the next steps. You can't even see your hand in front of you. That's how dark it is. But then all of a sudden, from the distance, you see this light shining. What's your first thought? Relief. Rescue. Hope, right? I'm not destined to be in here always, forever. There's a way to get out. You see, the grace of God's light comes to us in our darkness to rescue us out of the darkness and to lead us out. It's that light of hope that shines. I want you to hear this. Whatever darkness you may be in right now, whatever darkness has come into your home, I want you to hear the message that the ray of hope, the ray of God's light shines in the midst of it. Friends, there is a way out. And I know some of you walked in here tonight and you're looking for hope. Friends, this is it. The glory of the Savior that we sing about, He is the one who brings His light in the midst of our darkness, and He brings that light because it's a light of hope. It's a light that says, I know what you're going through, and I know how to lead you through it. He may not take you out of it immediately, but I will assure you this, He will walk with you in it. And that is the best hope we could ever have, of God knowing our darkness and coming and walking with us in it. Friends, it's the ray of God's hope, of His light. But you see, light also shines in the darkness, and when it comes, it exposes everything that's there. And it's here where we encounter the grace of light. The reality is true for all of us in this room. We're all prone to hide. Every one of us came in here tonight with a secret. We all have secrets. Yours is going to be different than mine. Some of you have deep, dark secrets that nobody has ever known, and they're so deep. They happened so long ago, but you still remember them. Some of you have secrets of if your spouse knew that you were in as much debt as you really were, what if they knew? Some of you carry around the secret and you put a smile on your face, but your marriage has fallen apart. You're really struggling, but you can't let anybody know, so you carry the weight of that secret around. Some of you carry the secret of struggling with one of your kids who's gotten in trouble, and you fear, if I tell someone, what are they going to think of me, right? I know some of you carry around secrets from things that you did in high school, that you're way too ashamed that if anybody ever knew what they would think of you. But do you know what the great danger is when we carry around these secrets, when we hide and walk in the darkness? Is it keeps us from coming fully alive. When we walk with secrets, we walk with a pose. We walk with a mask. We project a false self to other people. We project that self that we want people to see that we've got it all together, right? That we know what we're doing. That we really are living this life just perfectly. And so we create this false reality that we want people to see because we want to compensate for our inadequacies and our insecurities. We want to hide from our shame. We want to hide from our guilt. You know exactly what that's like. A friend of mine, I was talking to a good friend the other day, and he said this. He said, Robert, face it. We all want to run from the light. We're terrified of being fully known. I get it. I really get it. Because when God comes with His light shining in my life, and when I see that light, can I tell you, I want to run? Because I know when He's bringing that light that He's wanting to open that door that I thought was dead bolted 5 times and that no one was getting in. Because I know when God shines the light of His grace into my life, it means I have to deal with stuff. I have to deal with stuff I never thought I would have to. It means it's going to be hard. It means the road is likely going to be painful. And we want to do everything we can to run the other way. Friends, I will tell you, 2015 has been a year of God shining his light into my life. I think more than any other year I can remember. As painful as it's been, as disruptive as it's been, let me tell you how freeing it's been. Because I will tell you firsthand, friends, that to experience God shining his light of grace into those dark places that I never wanted to go, where I never wanted to go, he has exposed stuff, and in his tender mercy, he has walked with me through it. I will tell you, there is nothing greater than to come and yield to that light. It's the light of his grace because he longs to set us free. You know, I woke up this morning, and one of the things I do every morning, I'm like a little kid. The first thing I do when I get up during the time of Christmas is I go downstairs and I plug the Christmas tree in because I love lights. And this morning I did that, and I was sitting on a couch in another room, and I could see the lights kind of off in the corner of my eye. And I was looking at all the presents under the tree. I like presents, just so you know. I mean, I like them just as much as you do, I'll put it that way. And I was looking at those, wondering what they were and what was there for me. And all of a sudden, God showed me that he'd already given me the greatest gift this year. The gift of being fully known and fully loved by God. Can I tell you it doesn't get any better than that? Friends, when we can be fully known and fully loved in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of all of that mess, in the midst of all of those things we're trying to hide, there is nothing greater. There's no greater gift than to be fully known and fully loved by God. I want you to hear this tonight. Whatever secret you came in here with, God longs for the light of his grace to shine, to expose, to set you free. And I want you to know this. When he does, you need to remember this because it's easy to forget. Whatever he exposes has already been forgiven. You see that? Whatever he exposes was already forgiven over 2,000 years ago on the cross. The Savior came to be the light of the world, friends, to expose, to set us free. That's why he was born. That's why the angels and the heavenly host broke out through the darkness and proclaimed these words, "Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The invitation for you tonight is to come and receive the light. It's to come and to receive God's grace piercing those dark places of your heart. For those of you who follow Jesus, you know about this light, but maybe the invitation for you is to say, "God, I'm going to let you shine it in, and I'm going to respond by faith to walk down that road with you because I long to be free." There are others here tonight, I know, and you've never experienced God's light shining in. My prayer tonight for you is that you would come to this God of all grace who comes to bring mercy and forgiveness. That's why he shines this light. He doesn't shine the light to show your shame and guilt. He shines it to take it away, that you would know that you're forgiven by his grace. It means that you and I can totally come out and be free and experience the richness of his grace. So the invitation is to come to the glorious light and let him shine the brilliance of his grace in your heart and set you free. Come and worship. Come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.